Jackson, and Eric Jacobson. Eric Jacobson. So now we're going to play the second piece on your program. This is called Canyonlands. And I wrote something to explain this piece. When I was a boy, my mother and father had hung on our wall at home a poster that featured a large, beautiful photo of Monument Valley National Park. In it, there were no people, only vast, giant, majestic buttes scattered across the great painted desert. And the caption read, We treasure nature's vast open spaces because we are too familiar with the restricted and the refined, and the confined. Let me say that again. So the caption read, we treasure nature's vast open spaces because we are too familiar with the restricted and the confined. Even as a boy, I could understand that. I had already been to Monument Valley as a young boy, and that poster always reminded me of how I felt. I've always loved the Southwest. I like the heat of the Southwest. My joints feel looser. I like the dryness. And I love the colors of the Southwest, the browns and the reds, the contrasting blue sky and the green rivers, the colors of threatening weather, and the stark evening silhouettes. In a recent column in the New York Times, writer Nicholas Kristof praised America's national parks. He writes, in this grim post-9/11 era, an age shaped by anxiety and suspicion, there is something profoundly therapeutic about reconnecting with simplicity and nature. Family backpacking trips leave us exhausted, yet we gain perspective. Nature does not exist for our convenience. The wilderness trims our bravado and puts us in our place. Particularly in traumatic times like these, nature challenges us, revitalizes us, humbles us, exhilarates us, and restores our souls. It reminds us that we are part of a larger universe, stewards rather than masters of our world. This is how my wife and I felt in May when we were in Canyonlands, Utah. Where is my beautiful wife? There she is. She's telling me, shush. Our six-day backcountry adventure had us navigating the Green River in an 18-foot canoe. We were alone. We saw no one for days. But what made this trip particularly notable was that melting record snowpack in the Rockies and the Uinta Mountain Ranges were flooding the river to 10 times its normal size. It was an all-time record. Suddenly, the currents were too fast, eddies were too drastic, places to pull over were completely underwater. Not to mention the weather. I remember lying in our tent, clutching my dear wife as the wind howled and the clouds were bursting and lightning was striking all around us. And I remember thinking, as my heart raced, I wonder if we might not make it. Earlier that day, we had been inches from losing our canoe. If we had, I don't know what would have happened. But needless to say, it was the best trip of my life. It truly was. So the noble sound of the trumpet is the perfect musical expression of the grandeur of these experiences and of the American Southwest. A trumpet historian will tell you that the original function of the trumpet in Egyptian times was to signal army personnel across vast spaces and also to scare the opposing army. So the trumpet has had a long history with wide open spaces. The modern trumpet can express melodic beauty and its sound connected with the human breath, capable of great shades and colors. My piece, Canyonlands, explores these shades and colors, shapes and structures and emotions of mine and my dear wife's fantastic Southwest adventure, Canyonlands.